This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
912, very happy to have in studio two of the most popular governors when they left office, and we don't do that in Illinois. When a governor leaves office in Illinois, generally it's, get out! Governors Johnson and Weld, your candidates for president and vice president for the Libertarian Party. And the Libertarian Party, remember, appears on every ballot in America. So we have to get you guys to that magical, ridiculous 15% number to make sure the debates are fair. Welcome.
Thank you. And it doesn't look like it looks like that's going to happen. 13% in CNN over the weekend. Wow. With a lot of time to go.
So, yeah, there's anyway. A lot of time to go. Now, the change.org petition that I signed and that everybody else should sign, you go to change.org and you search this. It'd take you literally 30 seconds. You sign the petition and show that you want to hear from the Libertarian Party as well. How much of an impact will that have?
Well, I think all of it adds up to having impact. That's what I think. And
there needs to be shown that there's a groundswell of support, right? And that helps the poll numbers and everything else.
You know, there's a reason for that. We're the only party that is fiscally responsible and socially tolerant and inclusive. The Dems are not terribly fiscally responsible, and the R's are not terribly socially tolerant and inclusive. And, you know, the polling shows better than half the country is in our camp on that. So that's a policy reason to have us at the debates as well as the fairness reason.
Yeah, because the debates are a huge, huge, huge deal. They've never been bigger. So this needs to be a fair level playing field. So you need to get out there and you need to speak about this. Now, even after this conversation, if the folks decide they don't like you two guys, and I don't see that happening, they still need to get you in the debates.
Well, and it is the Super – Steve, you hit it on the head. It's the Super Bowl of politics. I mean, 100 million people tune in on that. So that opens up some big possibility. And like I say, being at 13% right now, we're the only ones that gained over the last month. So I do think that it's significant. You know, another pillar of our stool, I think, is the military interventions that have had the unintended consequence of making things worse, not better.
Right. I want to ask you about the issue specifically, but first, I'm fascinated by both of you. Successful governors, and Governor Weld in particular, Chicago is your kind of town.
My kind of town.
Yeah, you've got a lot of love for this city.
I was a partner at a Chicago law firm for 15 years.
Right, and with the success that you both have had in business, and I know you've even done a little acting, I think, if I remember reading correctly.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a bad boy. I'm a novelist. I'm an actor. I have 8 years of burlesque behind me.
Right. So the note
what
is,
better preparation for politics, I ask you.
Right, but the note is, after all of this success, why would you want to be entangled in this again? So what's the answer?
I think Bill and I are on the same page on this. You know, what is life? At the end of the day, you look back on your life, you reflect on it, and the idea is to make a difference, to make a positive difference.
I mean, in addition, I enjoy this stuff immensely. I enjoy the back and forth and having to think quickly on your feet and the debate, and then the overlay is that the issues are enormously important, so that's a great combination.
Yeah, I don't recognize the current Republican Party. Was the lack of recognition of the Republican Party you both grew up with one of the reasons you decided? I know, Governor Johnson, you feel this way too, that all of us are libertarian on some level. We just haven't all figured it out quite
well,
yet.
Well, I've always believed that the Republican Party was about small government, first and foremost. So for 8 months now, I've been saying that if Donald Trump is the nominee, that he's going to alienate half of Republicans. I've been out there. I've been in New Hampshire. I've been in Iowa. And what I've identified is that 30% of Republicans believe the scourge of the earth is Mexican immigration. And it was my voice out there, you know, this was in the 2012 cycle, that said, no, this is not the case. They're not taking jobs that U.S. citizens want. Building a fence across the border is crazy. And when you start talking about deporting 11 million illegal immigrants, that starts with misinformation and just how and why that's happening.
You share that view?
Governor, oh, absolutely. The tone of Mr. Trump's foreign policy proposals is really crazy. I mean, you know, the wall reminds me of nothing so much as the Berlin Wall, which
right.
is a stain and a shame throughout the 20th century. And everybody knows it helped to bring down the Soviet Union. I think, you know, if that wall goes up at some point, the Ronald Reagan of Mexico is going to be standing outside the wall, shaking his fist, saying, Mr. Trump, tear down this wall.
Right.
And he's going to have to do it because he's on the wrong side of history.
I've never seen so many undecided voters, or perhaps voters just disenchanted with their own party or their own candidate right now. So there are, you are going to be going after a lot of the undecideds and the people disenchanted with their own parties. How? Why should they vote for you? Why should they go Libertarian?
Well, you know, I always make the pitch, the I side with quiz, and I'll make that pitch here on air. Get online, isidewith.com.
Yeah.
Take this 60-question, answer the 60 questions, and at the end
of
the 60
questions. And by the way, it doesn't take long.
It doesn't take long. You don't have to sign up. It's really easy. And then at the end of the 60 questions, you get paired up with the presidential candidate most in line with your views. I always say, hey, do this objectively and then knock yourself out for the person that appears as your candidate. Well, I'm pretty confident that most Americans really are in this libertarian six-lane highway down the middle of what is now Trump and Clinton, and that's, broadly speaking, fiscally conservative, socially accepting, tolerant. I think that's philosophic. That's where you start. That's where you start your governance is from that
but
philosophical
position. In addition
position.
To that, another reason why a vote for Johnson Weld is a good vote is, you know, we're a pair of happy warriors. And we didn't fall off a truck yesterday. We're both two-term Republican governors of blue states who really delivered. We both cut taxes. Gary cut taxes 14 times, never raised them. I cut taxes 21 times, never raised them. And both of us greatly improved the unemployment picture and the economy of our states. That's not a bad start. And we're both two-termers, so that's almost 20 years of executive experience. That's not shabby.
And I think people should lock into that. We talked about it a second or two before we went on the air. Experience in life is a good thing, not a bad thing. It's when experience in life adds up to nothing and those in power have it and don't take advantage of it. You guys have experience that was absolutely positive in both executive positions.
A highly relevant experience cutting the budget. And
exactly.
Taming
stuff
the growth
that, stuff
of
that
government.
Pertains to the world we live in 2016
right.
And what
and
we
the
need
problems
to do in America.
In Washington.
So we don't need to just we don't need to destroy the system. We need people who know what they're doing to be at the top of the system.
And we're planning a partnership in this arrangement. We're not planning separate staffs. I think staff seeks to divide. And
you respect each other.
Very
well,
much
we
so.
We served together, and we liked each other a great deal back in the 90s when we were fellow governors, fellow members of the National Governors and Republican Governors Association. Saw each other a lot. I always was bowled over by Gary's athletic prowess. The guy's an Ironman triathlete and has climbed to the highest peak in each of the seven continents. I mean, what a start.
Well,
just because he can wrestle you to the ground doesn't mean.
Well, and Bill Weld, my political. I mean, this is a mutual admiration, I have
Which
to tell
is not
you.
A bad
my
thing.
Political role model. I put him up on a pedestal. I wanted to grow up and be like Bill Weld. So, beyond my wildest dreams, this is my running mate.
Sorry, running mates who like each other and know each other well.
And chose each other.
And
chose each other.
Yeah, we don't have time to cover it today, but if you look at how this partnership came together, it's pretty fascinating, and it'll actually make you feel good about American politics and about democracy. I want to talk to you about the issues specifically because I want people to get something and run with it off this today and go out and talk about you guys because I'm about to endorse you. Stand by for that. The Steve Cochran Show continues. It's 920 on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Former governor of New Mexico, Gary Johnson, is running for president on a Libertarian ticket. His running mate is the former governor of Massachusetts, William Weld. Governor Weld, four straight Republican governors in Massachusetts.
We did, yeah.
Did you do it with mirrors, trickery,
well,
voodoo?
No. They understand that Democratic legislators love to spend money, and having a watchdog in the corner office is pretty handy in creating a working balance. I think that's why.
The only hope for the Republican Party going forward is to have a libertarian point of view. It's time to get out of people's bedrooms, to stop telling people how to live their lives, and to help lead and to give them a chance to maximize their lives, which is really a core value of what you're talking about, isn't it?
Well, you hit it on the head. Keep government out of the bedroom, out of my pocketbook.
Yeah, that's really where it is. Let's go through some of the key issues, and you guys can bounce back and forth on these. The protection of police is a front and center headline issue. Either one of you, where's the party on that?
You know, I spent 7 years in the United States Justice Department. I was head of the criminal division of the Justice Department under President Reagan, so I understand the law enforcement point of view, and Obviously, our nation has wounds to bind right now, and we have to do that. But the safety of the first responders has to be first and foremost in our policy.
How do you meld that with race relations?
Well, not using the drug war as an example, not passing legislation that puts police in the middle of public policy that puts them in harm's way.
Yeah, but making cops do things that cops shouldn't have to do.
Making cops do things they shouldn't have to do.
Immigration. We talked about it a little bit with this idiotic wall idea. What's a reasonable way to handle immigration and jobs?
Reasonable way is make it as easy as possible for somebody that wants to come into this country and work to be able to get a work visa. Work visa should entail a background check and a Social Security card so that taxes are getting paid. Background check. We don't want criminals in this country, but make the line moving coming across the border. Right now, you got a line that's not moving. So you've got a mother and her kids that have to cross the Rio Grande to get a job in El Paso, as opposed to her being able to clearly or easily get across the border.
I totally agree. It's a labor force issue. And you know, Canada, for example, has a highly developed guest worker program, and people come to Canada, they work, and then they go home again. No problema.
Right.
And we should mimic the same.
And when you get no quotas on the government side, look, there will either be jobs or there won't be jobs. You get government involved in quotas, and then all of a sudden you got problems again.
Perhaps right. One. Peel back the political agendas involved in immigration and deal with the truth of immigration, what we need, what we don't need.
No, it can be very helpful. I mean, we've been a melting pot our entire
existence. That's the whole basis of the country.
And now they're turning it into a demonization opportunity as opposed to a growth opportunity for the country.
Embrace immigration. We are a country of immigrants. I'm proposing, well, we're proposing lower taxes, lower corporate tax. I'd like to abolish corporate tax. That said, we're going to need millions of immigrants to fill the jobs that will exist in this country that won't exist anywhere else because of a lowered or zero corporate tax.
Another thing we should embrace as a country is free trade. I mean, it's been very good for Absolutely. The country over the decades. American workers have a huge productivity edge over workers everywhere else in the world, and that means that we're going to get high-wage jobs as a result of free and open trade. And the twist that Mr. Trump has taken just recently to argue for a closed economy, no more free trade, let's pretend we're an island, we don't have to compete with anybody, that's just going to shrink American manufacturing. It's not going to protect it.
So, well, Secretary Clinton as well. Secretary Clinton was before she was against it. I mean, come on. And the fact is, this is a global economy. You can't put the cat back in the bag. You can't put the snake back in the box. We are an interconnected world economy. You have to have free trade.
Yeah, well, the Trump approach has been tried and failed. I mean, he says he's going to put a 45% tariff on this country, a 35% tariff on that country. That was tried in the 1920s. It's called the Smoot-Hawley tariff, brought to you by the Republican Party, and it created the Great Depression.
Right, because 10 seconds later, China and everybody else gets to put theirs in.
How about protecting the homeland, fighting terror, obliterating ISIS, and keeping them from infiltrating our citizens through social media and the like?
The question is how to address this.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to be alert to this. I mean, this is very real. That said, how do you prevent a situation that occurred in Nice? I mean, that situation has to exist in 10,000 different places in this country every single day.
You know, when I was head of the Criminal Division of Justice, I had terrorism as well as narcotics. I proposed recently after Omar Mateen, the Orlando shooter, that there be convened a new task force of 1,000 expert FBI agents with experience in counterterrorism who would have a hotline and people could call in. They would collect evidence, clues, if you will, from all over. A troubling part of the Mateen case was the FBI had interviewed that guy twice, and then his name disappeared from the register. Not sure that should have happened when it's someone with suspected terrorist ties, in fact, claimed ties to violent groups abroad.
You know, and if I understand what you're saying we need people who know what questions to ask.
And there's precedent for that. We did it with the organized crime task forces when we were taking out La Cosa Nostra in the 80s, Rudy Giuliani, myself, and other U.S. attorneys. So focus is good. The Enron task force in Texas, that was financial crimes. That wasn't violent crimes, but they delivered the goods. So that's something that can be done by the Justice Department to reach the ISIS lone wolves.
We're going to do a quick update on the news here, and then we got a couple more minutes with you because I want to dovetail what we just talked about into the mental health problem in this country and our lack of funding. You guys know how messed up the state of Illinois is for funding. We're a microcosm of the problem everywhere else. And if you're not taking care of mental health, and what would we have seen in Baton Rouge and what we see in Dallas? PTSD.
Well, and a dynamic government that we're dealing with new problems. You don't deal with new problems with the old ways of doing things.
No.
So smaller government in the overall context of things. But look, let's be dynamic.
Well, it needs to be more efficient.
More efficient.
Yeah. We're going to get this all fixed in the next 5 minutes. Stand by. More with Governors Johnson and Weld. And what is the website for the campaign?
Well, I always just say Google Gary Johnson. It'll all pop up. But it's
Johnson Weld
2016.
Right.
Johnson Weld 2016. You could certainly make a donation there if you like. But more importantly right now, get on there and find out where these gentlemen stand on the issues and where they're going. Big break and then back in a moment with the big story. Or a quick break and then the big story. And then the endorsement on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
943, you may not recognize Governors Johnson and Weld because they actually have experience in leadership positions, success in the same, and they have a plan. These are things that would make them unlikely to be candidates in 2016, but yet they're here. And for everybody that's asked me, Steve, what are you going to do? We know you don't like Trump. We know you don't like what Hillary's had to say. I'm announcing, I'm endorsing both of you. I am endorsing Johnson Weld.
Gosh, I had no idea this was going to happen.
Yeah, I've only telegraphed it for 20 minutes. But I believe we need you, and I am happy to help get the word out about you. Obviously, Donald Trump is as welcome here as he was since the day he announced. Secretary Clinton's been on here before, and she'll be back. But it's it feels good to be able to talk to both of you because I know you're sincere.
It feels good to be endorsed.
Yeah, and neither one of you need this. That's the thing I really like. Neither one of you need this. You want this because you want to do the right thing and you like each other. And I think that's important.
Well, thank you.
So,
thank you.
Before I let you go, there's been a ton of conversation this year about the Constitution and constitutionality of any number of things. Where does it fall for you foundationally in your set of beliefs?
Oh, that's a hot button issue for me. My 7 years in the Justice Department, I practically had the Constitution in one hand, and I've suggested that tomorrow, instead of getting out the Art of the Deal and reading it for the 400th time, Mr. Trump should get out the United States Constitution and read it for what would obviously be the first time. A lot of the things he's proposed are inconsistent with our obligations under the Constitution and international law. You know, you can't rip up treaties. You can't unilaterally impose huge tariffs. You can't say, I got my finger on the button, but I think I'm going to send some nuclear weapons to Japan and South Korea. I just don't think Mr. Trump is sufficiently serious about the obligations he would have under the Constitution to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. That's a quote.
It's the owner's manual
clause.
It's the owner's manual for America.
It's
and the owners are the people that vote for you.
We are a constitutional republic, and we're governed by laws, and those laws, the U.S. Constitution.
I mean, that's a live issue. Mr. Trump's trade proposals run straight up against the rule of law, which has been the foundation of our economy, both domestically and internationally. It's why we're the envy of the world, is our society and our economy are based on the rule of law.
Well, I'm very, very happy to have you here, and I look forward to having you both back separately or together. I know you're off to Cleveland. I'd say enjoy it, but that doesn't seem like the right way to put it. But thank you for what you're doing, and let's get you to 15 so we can get you into the debates, and then anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Thank you.
Nice to see you both. Johnson Weld 2016?
Johnson Weld 2016.
That's us.
.com. There you go.
I like the hashtag Make America Sane Again, is what you've been
Absolutely.
Saying. What they've been saying.
Back with our friend Bill Curtis. A little analysis of this and everything else on 720 WGN.